Hello, friends, and welcome to the gathering, Daughters of the Living King, where women seek to know and experience the love of Christ. I am your host, Judy Killigrew, and my experience and passion is in encouraging and empowering women in their walk of faith with the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 states, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." In this weekly podcast, we will focus on meeting the unique spiritual, emotional, and social needs of faith-based women. If you are an imperfect woman seeking to maximize your spiritual growth and desire to experience a transformed life with the beauty of God's love, then The Gathering is the podcast for you. Here in the messiness of our daily struggles, we are a gathering of women who strive to live daily with Jesus. This week, we are discussing the messiness in church hurt. But talking about church hurt today does not include a situation where a church member has been physically or sexually abused. This should never be kept silent and it should be reported. That's a very different church hurt than what we are discussing. So, oh my goodness, let's get into the messiness in church hurt. Do you remember this children's rhyme? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. The problem with this rhyme is that the church is not a building with a steeple and doors. Church is not something that we go to. It is something that we are. The church are the people. People who are interlocked together in Christ. And because the church is people, church can often be messy. It's never as neat and organized as you and I would like it to be. The church does not operate in perfect harmony, and we can't just remove ourselves from the church as a Christian any more than we can remove ourselves from humanity as a person. According to Romans 7, we all still struggle with the sin nature. Going to a church and being surprised to find sinful, unhealthy people is like going to the hospital and being surprised to find sick, unhealthy people. That is not to diminish the reality of those hurts or to excuse bad behavior, but the bottom line is that the church is filled with people, and people are sinners, even Christians, and sometimes we still act like that. And experiencing hurt from the local church can be painful. As fallen people, we say and do things that hurt instead of encourage. We can become embittered, angry, and unforgiving. Feelings get bruised, egos get hurt. We can be outcasted by church friends over a misunderstanding. Individuals can be overworked, overwhelmed, and disregarded by the church. By the time we're done with church, we can be left with one big mess. And then sometimes in our flesh, we want to look around for someone to blame. In Genesis, after sin and evil is invited into the world, God initiates a rescue plan to save His creation by establishing a covenant with Abraham so the rescuer will come through his bloodline, therefore making his descendants God's people. The story of the Israelites and their waiting for the anticipated Messiah is tracked over thousands of years in the Old Testament. These were roller coaster years of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, turning to other gods, complaining and then praising, bad kings and good kings, repentance, rebellion, killing prophets, and when it seems like it can't get any worse, it always does. At one point, God compares His people's unfaithfulness to a prostitute in the book of Hosea. And yet, Christ has always used flawed people to accomplish His work on earth. If we look at the New Testament, it is the story of Jesus using His followers to spread His love in spite of themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 states, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Oh boy, The Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers sure spent a lot of time correcting and encouraging everyone to work through extremely messy circumstances and petty, annoying situations. Scandals and mess permeated the early church. In the Corinthian church, men were sleeping with their mother-in-laws, and parishioners were getting drunk on communion wine. The church in Galatia wrestled with legalism. The letter by James addresses slander, judgment, and selfishness. God's story is full of broken people that He uses in profound ways for His glory. And to see that God used ordinary, broken human beings as vessels of His grace and delighted in it is awe-inspiring. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 tells us that God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Jesus Christ, our living King. Nothing has changed today. He is still using broken people who often make profound messes in even more profound ways for His glory. Together, the church, that's you and me, works collectively to place trust in Jesus because we all recognize that we are willful sinners with a lifetime of moral messes who desperately need a Savior. Being united to Jesus means we are instantly forgiven, loved, accepted, and delighted by God. But it's not our living King's job to instantly tidy up all the messes that are made in the church. Instead, it's something much better than that. We, His children, get to be His artwork on display. That artwork is nothing less than our messes being transformed into messages of grace. We are growing to become more like Jesus, and through the church, God uses grace to beat through our imperfect but redeemed life. So what are we to do in the midst of this mess? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praying is essential in our mess. We cannot overcome a spiritual struggle with physical strength. Gossip doesn't help, nor does speculation. Taking sides just makes things worse. In the messes that are made, there are no real winners and losers. When we face pain, we must still operate in honor. To honor means to hold someone in high esteem. Romans 12:10 says it like this, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. By God's grace and mercy, we love and we forgive our way through these things. We confess and ask God to help all of us clean up and move forward the best that we can. We hold to the truth of God's word and work diligently to live it out daily. Finally, we affirm our unity. We're together in this thing called church, even when it's messy, especially when it's messy. We're interlocked. We're together. We're one. So if church hurt is the reality and not just the exception to the rule, it seems we all had better expect church difficulty and become proficient at navigating it. We simply cannot give up on church. That would be giving up on you and on me. All churches are full of broken people in the process of restoration, and God is committed to using them. Instead of looking at church as an organization that must show the glory of God by having everything in perfect order, we must see it as a family with crazy relatives and dysfunction committed to loving one another through difficulty by the power of the Spirit. John's Gospel says that when we do that, they will know we are disciples of Jesus. And that's in John 13:35. Maybe the messiness of church is actually part of God's plan to mature us. The difficulties that we so often want to run from or avoid actually are part of the mirror God uses to confront our selfishness, pride, or other hidden pockets of sin in our hearts. At the end of the day, the church building, the steeple, and the doors don't matter. The people, the real church, does. We're the ones redeemed by the grace of God to live lives that bear witness to Him, even in the messes we make. The church will never be a perfect place, but it can and should be a safe place. A safe place to bring our faults and sins, joys and hopes, guilt and shame, victories and celebrations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for always being with us in the messiness of life. I ask that us as daughters of the living King who have church hurt are able to forgive and know that church hurt is not from you. Father, help us to love and forgive. Help us as we face spiritual struggles, and please give each listener strength and peace. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory, and in the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Ladies, I hope to see you next week as we gather and experience a transformed life with the beauty of God's love. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the follow button so that you won't miss one episode. I am so happy that you are with us on this journey.